Let us read from Ezekiel 33, verse 7. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and warn them from me. In particular, this thought, I have set thee a watchman. God has set into the church apostles, prophets, shepherds, teachers, and evangelists. And the Holy Scripture tells us that such men watch over our souls and will have to give account on the day of the Lord. We want to let you know that we are here to serve the Lord and you. We are available and we want to do what God requires from us. He has set watchmen on the walls of Zion. When we sometimes pronounce warnings and admonitions, then not to harm someone. No, we are watchmen. God has opened our eyes, and nothing may happen what brings harm to the church. And when the enemy starts to do so, then we must exhort, then we must warn. The prophets and the apostles did the same. From the prophet Isaiah, I would also like to read some scriptures, just briefly, and then from the New Testament. Isaiah 44, from verse 24 to the first part of verse 26. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. Who was with me? That frustrateth the tokens of the liars, and maketh diviners mad, that turneth wise men backward, and maketh their knowledge foolish. And now comes that part. That confirmeth the word of his servant, and performeth the counsel of his messengers. We believe that the Lord has sent his servants and prophets at all times. He had everything announced in advance so that we can see the truthfulness of God by the fulfillment of the word of prophecy. God did not speak in secret, and God did not work in secret either. It has become known all over the earth that God stands to his word, that he fulfills his promises, and that he performs the counsel declared by his servants and messengers. I would like to read on from Isaiah 46, verse 10 and 11, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Verse 11, I hesitate to read, but I read it anyway. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country, yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it. I don't want to go into this thought, but you all know, there are always people who find some scriptures. When it says here, I call my man, then there are also such people, and then it says from the east, then they found it. They even orientate themselves by the points of the compass. I will never forget that day. It happened in Israel, in the city Elat, when I stayed there for 3 days or 2.5 days. Suddenly, I heard a noise in the evening when it became dark in the water, and there a man baptized everyone who came along. And I saw what happened. To make it short, it was a man from Japan. And he said, it is written in the Bible, there will come a man from the east, and I am that man. I said to him, you come from the east, and you are a man, but certainly not the man of whom God spoke. Beloved, not the claim, but the fruit of a ministry legitimates a divine calling and sending, not the words, but that what God can do. This is the proof. Just that you know it clearly, I am definitely not that man. But I do that part that God imposed on me. And I want to say it here today very clearly at this place. Now and then there are people who misunderstand something, and then they apply scriptures on me that do not apply to me. Some do it in a good sense, others with evil intent. I would like to say the following to it. I make no other claim than that to have been called by the Lord and to have been ordained to the ministry. I am nothing special and will never be. But God's word has become everything to me. I am not an elder of a local church, as it is sometimes assumed. There were already people who wanted to read me what applies to an elder. I just had to tell them, you can stop reading, for the word that you want to read to me does not apply to me at all. An elder of a church does not travel through all the world. To him the Lord does not say, I will send you from city to city. That is a totally different commission. Elders in a church have the task of shepherding a local church, watching over it and carrying out their ministry in it. Those who know the Holy Scriptures know that elders were appointed here and there in the churches. Paul writes to Timothy that he should make the journey and appoint elders in the several churches. And then it is described what the condition of an elder must be who is to be ordained into the ministry. And as I just said, this word absolutely does not apply to me. I have not been ordained as an elder, but have been placed by God into the ministry of the overall church. My ministry is not limited to this place or this church or this country. It is a divine message that the messenger has brought, and it must be carried into all the world. I would like to read Galatians chapter 1 on this. Galatians chapter 1, verse 15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. A divine commission and setting into the ministry has nothing to do with a choice that man can decide, but has been made by God because of divine predestination. I want to read the second part to this, namely from Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, I wanted to have memorized these scriptures. Maybe we don't even need to read that much. I'm only saying this for the sake of those who probably are put into unrest. Be at ease about this. God has known the path of every human being from beginning to end. God is all-knowing. He knows the outcome of a matter before it has begun. And he sees to it that everything comes out gloriously, and that all those who are destined to reach the goal will reach it by his grace. I want to read from Colossians chapter 4, and pass it on to you as a prayer request, as Paul did here in those days. So it is also close to my heart. Colossians chapter 4, from verse 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for whose sake I am also bound in chains, and I may make it known as my duty requires. It is a holy duty that is imposed upon us because of a divine calling, the responsibility to proclaim the word is greater than any other responsibility on earth. And when I'm saying this today at this place, that my responsibility is greater than that of a President Reagan or the future Bush or Gorbachev. God has placed them to perceive earthly things like our Mr. Kohl and our very revered Mr. von Weizsäcker and others in other countries. But these people have only an earthly task, to perform a political task. Politicians come and go, but we have been appointed by God to proclaim the eternal counsel of our God and to bring the word of God to all the world and to communicate what the Lord has to say to His people in this time. Surely, someone may think whether this assessment is not too far-reaching. No, the responsibility connected with eternity must be the greatest because it goes beyond time and space and is destined for all eternity. That is why the Bible speaks of the eternal gospel. And there is a point that we would also like to emphasize this morning. There are always people who would like to do something in the kingdom of God, who would like to help God. And when I think here on the many interpretations about thunders and the like, and each one is different, then I come to the conclusion and take the quotation of Brother Branham, which is totally in agreement with the Bible. He said, as no one knows the coming of Jesus Christ, so no one will know the mystery of the seven thunders. You can read it in the seals book, black on white. And yet there are people who simply say this and that are now the seven thunders. And as I have just said, every interpretation is different. And there are also those who would like to push me. It goes too slowly for them. This and that would have to happen. If I could do it, I would have done it already. But it is God's work, God's doing, God's business. And I will be careful not to bring strange fire onto the altar of God. A word to all those who long for a biblical baptism in the Spirit, who have a deep desire in their heart to be sealed by the Holy Spirit unto the day of our bodily redemption. Dear heart, do not be despondent. God will send the latter rain. God will revive His work and His people. Why it is taking so long, I do not know. But this much I do know. He is not delayed. Look into the religious world today. How many charismatic movements are there? People stagger to and fro, and hallelujah, back and forth, and then they go on their own ways. What God is going to do in the bright church, finally, has to stand out and be different from everything that has been until now. The people do not have to say then, huh, it is similar here as it is here and there. God will do something new, something wonderful, something unprecedented. But we have to wait for it to happen. There are also those who ask if people are falling down here. You all know when they see something that there is an evangelist, and before he touches the people, they fall down. Brother Ruth says he breathes on them. Yes, seriously, I witnessed it, whether you can believe it or not, in London, in the Royal Albert Hall, where about 6,000 people were gathered. Suddenly, the American evangelist said, "Look at me now, everybody, because the Holy Spirit is going out from me." And what shall I tell you? He went one step further. "Now all of you rise up and stretch out your hand towards me, and you will receive the Holy Spirit." I was the only one who remained seated, whose heart was torn. We want something real. It has to come from God. We don't want anything else. I have one suggestion to make. Start thanking God for what He has already done for us. Let us do things differently from the first day of this year than we did last year. Let us take a stand of faith towards God, that we think and believe positively and begin to thank the Lord. For let us be honest, in the depth of our hearts, we know that the Lord Jesus must first complete and fill and prepare His church, which He will take home without spot or wrinkle. The resurrection power, the transformation power, He will give everything by His grace. See, through the Holy Spirit, there are different kinds of work. The Spirit convicts of sin. The Spirit leads to repentance. The Spirit transfigures us, the Word. Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit has come, He will glorify me. The work of the Holy Spirit is so manifold, and I dare to say, we have already experienced it in a great measure, and many have received more than they themselves know. Of course, let there be clarity about that too. We believe that God gives biblical baptisms in the Spirit. But look, as I just said, what is the use of millions speaking in tongues in this generation? What kind of speaking in tongues is it? What is it all about? Most certainly, it is a confusion It is Babylon after all. They remained in the old traditions. They have taken all the old teachings as leaven, and everything is contaminated again. We believe that God is bringing back to the truth. We believe that God is penetrating us with His Word, that we don't want to perform anything anymore, wanting to be nothing, only to have the desire in our hearts to be blessed by God and to receive all that He has promised us and all that is necessary to reach the goal, which is the transformation of our mortal body and then the rapture to meet the Lord. Precious souls, dear brothers and sisters, thank God for the desire He has put within you. And this is what Brother Branham said so beautifully. If God has put a desire in us for something, then you have what we desire already ready for us. Otherwise, He could not have put the desire in us at all. I read it recently at a brother's conference from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 28, that the Lord will rise and bring His work to completion. There are certain things that God used men to do, but one thing He has reserved for Himself: the redemption of His church, the building of His church, the completion of His church, the bringing home of His church. He does that Himself. He did not say to Peter, "Build you my church." He did not say to Paul, "You do it." What did He say? "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." He is on it. Look, what we need to understand is this. God used Brother Branham to reveal the Word, to put the promises for this time upon the lampstand, to store up the spiritual food. And now is the time of the giving out. Now we may distribute what God has left us. But the completion will happen worldwide at the same time. That which is now being done on the whole earth over decades will then, in the last round, when it will come to a climax, happen on the whole earth through the Spirit of God, in all true believers at the same time. Then there will be no need for a special brother to come. Then God will come down in a special way to bring His work to completion. But we have to bridge that time. And just be honest, if the Lord had come 10 or 20 years ago, how many of us who are here today and all over the earth would not have had the opportunity to be part of it. I have also written about the doctrine of parousia, which is very widespread. There are people who claim that Jesus Christ came back to this earth in 1963, and he who holds it the most only came to the faith in 1974, but Jesus came already in 63. Yes, then everything would have been too late for him. It has come to such a point that these people can no longer think clearly, let alone speak clearly. We looked up the word. Parousia means not only presence, but actually bodily presence. Only when I enter this hall, it is parousia. If I'm not here, then it would be a fantasy about my presence. But if I'm not here, then it is not parousia. There are people who want to be something special and don't realize that they are missing the mark. We don't judge them. They are already bad off enough. But this is what we want to point out clearly. The same Jesus who was taken from our midst, thus it is written, who was lifted up to heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. When Jesus comes again, then he is not here on earth, then I am in heaven. Amen. When Jesus comes again, he comes to take us home. He didn't say, prepare a place for me, and then I will come to you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, and then I will come again to take you to myself, so that you may be there where I am. Amen. This is God's holy word. How anyone can misunderstand these clear scriptures is a mystery to me. Most surely, the resurrection of those who have gone before us is connected with the return of Jesus Christ. For those who have fallen asleep in Christ will rise first, and then we who are alive and remain, we will be changed and raptured to meet the Lord in the air. A brother who also preached here in this place in 1976, he spent 2 hours trying to convince me that the rapture and the transformation and all took place. One can hardly repeat it. What an imagination these people develop. The graves are then suddenly the denominations, and it goes from explanation to explanation. Yes, where does it say that in the Bible? What the dead denominations are, we know. Because the Holy Scripture says so. It is the final call. Ye, my people, come out. Be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters. One is the calling out, the preparation. The other will be the transformation and the rapture. And then we will be with the Lord at all times. We are still reading from 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1 from verse 12. 1 Timothy 1 from verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into his ministry.
Als mich in seinen Dienst einsetzte.
Not my ministry and your ministry. And I want to make it very clear. Some say the ministry of Brother Branham, the ministry of Brother Frank, or the message of Brother Branham. Actually, it is the Word of God, the message of God, the Church of God. Everything still revolves around that. We don't have a ministry of our own. We have been placed into the ministry of Christ, in His ministry, in His Church. And that is why it hurts us so much when there are divisions, when there is hard-heartedness and many other things. Paul says, where will someone suffer, and I do not suffer with him? If all the brothers knew how we suffer from the overall situation, then they would come in tears and say, forgive us. You all know how it was in the days of Solomon. There were two mothers who claimed that a child belongs to them. And what was it? Solomon, a man filled with the Spirit of God, he said, let these two women come, bring the child, and bring me a sword. You all know the story. And then he asks the two ladies, is this child yours? She said, yes. Is this child yours? Yes. Then he says, all right, if it belongs to both of you, then I will divide it in two. And then each of you will get half of the child. And when he reached for the sword, the mother screamed, don't do it. Give the child to that woman. What was it? She was the mother. She had carried the child under her heart. And the other said, just cut it up. And then he says, this is not the mother. He that divideth the body of the Lord as a brother has not the breastplate upon his heart, as Aaron had it, with the 12 stones that represented the people of Israel. A true man of God will say, spare the flock, spare the church. Do we understand that? I would like to read one more word that I would like to give us all along our way from 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. There's a blank spot on the tape. We do not exalt you, but we are thankful to God to have part in what He is doing now. God will see to it that in the body of the Lord, the different ministries can work harmoniously with each other. Another sadness came upon me when my beloved brother told me this morning that he was saddened by the condition of his city and surroundings. Beloved, may it really come to the point that everyone finds his place. And I would like to suggest to all the brothers who feel the call of God to serve with the word in the church or where God has placed you, and then it will become clear whether the Lord has given you a ministry or not. You can say, I'm this or that, or God has put me to this and that. Let it be judged by the listeners. But God will certainly see to it that everyone comes to his right, if it is the right of God. If we have our own ideas, then it will not work. Let us take this word to heart, and let us believe that it also applies to us. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power and love and self-discipline. Not that we now stand before you and say, this and this we will do. No. As Paul said, we have appeared humbly in your midst, thinking nothing of ourselves, but preaching the word of God in the power of the Holy Spirit. I can only say, God willing, and we live. I don't know if everyone has heard the last announcement that I will die suddenly this year by a heart attack, and that Brother Rus and Brother Schmidt will also be suddenly taken away in connection with this, and that a terrible blow will strike the church. I have this prophecy non-stop. It said, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord, until at the end I put down the phone, because I was no longer willing to listen. We know that the enemy will attack more than ever before, and I am quite aware of my bodily condition, that I have overstrained myself, but I did not do it in ignorance, but out of the divine impulse of love to reach as many people as possible all over the earth. But when I see all the sleepless nights due to time difference, where day turns into night and the day turns into night, partly time difference of 8 or 12 or 6 or 4 hours, and that again and again, then you feel it in your body. And I told this man, who claims to be a prophet and who claims many things, I told him, I don't want to go home in the year 89. I want to go home now. I want to go home now. But do you know when I will go home? Only when the Lord calls me, not sooner and not later. And only when the task to which God has called me is done. I don't know God any other way. But you notice that the whole world is left alone, and the attacks are directed at us here. There is a word that applied to our Lord in the prophet Zechariah: strike down the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. Satan is targeting those whom God has set to proclaim His holy counsel, as He has delivered and left it unto us. Who has been murdered? The false prophets or the true ones? The true prophets were murdered. And the Lord said, I have sent my prophets at all times. Some you persecuted, some you stoned, and some you killed, and so forth. The Lord will do great things. And if I should no longer be here, other brothers will be here. But there is a faint desire in me to see what God will do. I think it was my friend and brother Kupfer who said to me, Brother Frank, we want to experience together what you have preached to us. And then I said, I have only passed on what we have received from the Lord. I did not promise anything that God had not said, but God's promises are yes and amen. If you ask me what is on my heart, I can tell you, it is on my heart to write an encyclopedia, a reference book, such as has not existed on earth, to put God and His plan with humanity in concise form, under special keywords like beginning, and then comes all that the Bible says about beginning. And I tell you already today, it will be published, if God permits, and if it is in His will, in all languages, to in conclusion give a divine information on this earth for all those who are seeking to find. I will have no idol in it, don't you worry. But such a divine manual I would like to be allowed to put into the hands of humanity, in the hope that not only will happen what happened in the days of the Reformation, that a wound will be inflicted, but that the whole Babylon will be torn down, and all those whom God wants to call out will be called out. Parallel to it, I want to make an effort that we get radio broadcasts and, if need be, TV broadcasts as well. No matter what, it is on my heart to bring this pure, clear, divine message to the people. They have been kept in error from generation to generation. They have a right to hear the truth. And by grace, we may thank the Lord that we have heard the pure truth and that it has been revealed to us. But I expect that in this year, 1989, the course will be set in every way. Whether it will already bring the great breakthrough, God alone knows. He has everything in His hands. We stand at His disposal and say, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. It is also a matter of making this last message available to humanity in a concise and clear way. There are American brethren who say that there are about 1,000 sermons of Brother Branham available. I mean, there are about 500. But be that as it may, one cannot publish 500 sermons. You can, however, publish the sum of the whole, summarize all that is and is found in those sermons, and then give it to mankind and make it available. Don't you worry about it. The Lord is sitting on the throne. He waits until all enemies are made His footstool. He has begun and He will finish gloriously. Praised and glorified be His holy name. To all of us, I wish the connection and fellowship with God more than ever before. How many feel that the fellowship needs to become more intimate with the Lord? How many long for it? Amen. It is in our hearts. How many feel that also the fellowship with one another must also become more intimate, more heartfelt? Amen. God will give it to all of us by grace. He will pour out His holy love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. To a great extent, He has already done so, and He will continue to do so. Praised and glorified be His holy name. Amen. Faithful Lord, we thank You together for this day of grace in the new year, that we could come also this morning, and that You have spoken to us again, O Lord, through Your precious and holy word, O Lord. Lord, we thank You that also people and also young people are ready to walk the way with You. O Lord, we worship You and are so glad that we have the blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Hallelujah. Faithful God, I thank you for my brothers, for my sisters, for all who have come from everywhere, from east and west, from south and north, that we had fellowship here with you, Lord, and with your word, Lord. Lord, I pray you, may you bless them all, Lord. We know, Lord, that we do not know when we will be called, but Lord, if it is your will, let it happen then, that we can meet again. And if it is not here on earth, then it will be up there in the light with you, O Lord, in your kingdom, in your glory. Lord, I ask you, give grace also to my dear brother Frank. Strengthen him in spirit, soul and body. Give grace to all, Lord, even on the way home. Oh, please, Lord. Now we also pray for the sick, for the intercessions that are here before us. May you hear them. May you help them. For you are the great physician. You are the helper in all the need. Praise and thanks be to you. In Jesus' name, faithful Lord, now we also ask you to be with us during the baptism. Give grace, Lord, to my brother. Give grace to those who are being baptized. I ask all in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen.